ないよ。
Everybody, and welcome to episode 297 of Comic Book Queer's Legacy. I am your host, Brett, and with me as always is my good friend, Evil Jeff. Hi, my darling girl.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Are you sure?
Yeah, well, you know, we're going to the hot topics we're going to talk about.
Yeah, it's a pretty big hot topic. I want our listeners to buckle up because we have basically an announcement. We're going to call it a hot topic. So why don't we just hit that music?
We got some hot topics. Yeah.
Okay, how about you start?
Thanks. I'm trying really hard to keep up kind of like a positive energy during this hot topic. But, you know, as everyone knows, me and Evil Jeff have been friends for a really long
time. Oh, my fucking God. Hey, bitches.
Oh, no,
it's
no,
me.
No,
it's
no.
Dazzler. I'm
no, not
back.
Now. Not now.
I'm fucking back. Shut the fuck up. Where's my hit my music. Hit my theme music. Well, it's hot gossip with your favorite beauty. Dazzler's bringing you some scalding hot tea. Yeah. Oh, it's hot gossip.
Dazzler, your timing.
Yeah.
Your timing could not be worse.
Oh, what? Oh, what? You guys had a fight or something? What? You're not going to be
no,
friends anymore?
No, never mind.
Like, you're
never
mind. Too old. To not have like you're gonna find new friends. Give me a fucking break. Not me. I'm young
queen.
As ever. Because you know, when I was resurrected, I said, they brought me back in my 23-year-old body.
All right, Dazzler, since you're here, I guess we'll just pivot to talking to you. I guess you have some hot gossip for us.
Oh, I do have some hot gossip. And it's we finally figured out how my resurrection works. That's the gossip we're talking about, bitches.
How
you
does
can't
your
fucking
resurrection?
Kill me.
It sounded like you didn't have it anymore. And then all of a sudden, boom, in this issue of Dead X-Men number 4, you did it.
All right. Well, here's the deal. Like, you know, people try to kill me. And that's the thing is you might have read it in the comics that people have tried to kill me. People have tried to murder me way many more times. Like here, list some characters and I'll tell you, list some of my X-Men to see if they tried to kill me ever.
Rogue.
Rogue? Rogue killed me about 10 times in the Australian Outback. And she was like, oh, well, I guess it didn't take sugar. No, I was resurrecting, dummy.
Wolverine.
Oh, Wolverine. Okay, well, there was one time... and this was more my fault. He, just had his claws out and I sat down right on him. I was like, oh, you know, total vivisection. But I
long
ended
shot.
Up being fine. Long shot. Well, that was one where, you know, we tried our luck, by fucking and jumping out of an airplane and he landed on my body and he survived. So the luck lasted for him, but I came back. I always come back, bitches. But here's the deal.
Yes, you do.
If you totally chop my body up into a million pieces, I can't come back from that.
You can't come back from that.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't.
So it's like we've established if it's extensive bodily harm, like Nimrod crushing you, then that's bad.
Yeah. But well, if you notice, he literally flew through my body and like chopped
through
it
through your
half.
Body.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So if you're like dismembered, you're not going to pull like a Deadpool.
No, I can't do that. I'm not. Deadpool tried to kill me too. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. That
so
was also,
how
we
does it
fucking.
Work? But if you have like a heart attack or like something like that, it looks like you're going to pop right back
I'm
up.
Coming back. And do you want to know what it's based in? It's not part of my mutant power.
What is it?
I've realized it. It's because God knows I'm better than everybody else. Isn't that right? Oh, you look. I can see the look on your face, Brett, and I know he's just. And then Evil Jeff over there is just shaking his head. But you know what? There's no getting rid of me. And actually, I am taking over the show for good. And there's nothing you can do to stop me.
Oh, there's one thing, bitch.
Wait, no. Is that a wood chipper? No!
Stay still.
Brett, that was really harsh. You just committed murder.
Shut up. Don't tell anybody.
But you know what? I respect that.
And I am going to keep doing this podcast with you. Yay! So our hot topic is completely moot.
Wait, that was the news? You were going to quit?
Yeah, I was going to quit.
Oh, my God.
But now that I know that you committed murder, I'm like, you got the balls.
I would kill for this show.
Yes.
Actually, I would just kill to maintain control of something. Yeah, but I mean, in this case, it was this show.
Yeah, although you do need to clean this up. Did you ever see there was a Lifetime movie called Red Wind? And and in the end, and it was a serial killer who put people in a wood chipper. And in the end, the red wind was like what was coming out of the wood chipper. Red wind.
That was like a made for TV movie?
Yes.
Oh God.
And then the twist was like the one of the female characters was really a man in drag, but it was very,
oh my
it
God.
Was very obvious. It was a man in drag and it was like transphobia and bad puns. And now Dazzler's dead again. Oh, well,
I guess we should just talk about some X-Men comics.
Yeah. Let's hit the music for the X-Men.
I was reading X-Men comics in a cocktail bar. That much is true. Yeah.
Dead more X-Men. Dazzler. Dead X-Men. Dead Dazzler. Oh, wait. We'll get to dead. No, we already talked about dead Dazzler.
Which came first? So we have Fall of the House of X and dead X-Men. Which one came first?
I feel like because dead X-Men ties into last week's Rise of the Powers of 10.
Yeah.
So we should talk about dead X-Men.
Okay. Once again, I would rather this all be in one book. I hate this like out of continuity explaining things in like five different books just for sales. It makes the story very convoluted. And I feel like I basically feel all of the X-Men books now is they set up a premise, they ramble about, and then they suddenly have one issue to like rush to the finish.
Yeah, to like quickly wrap it up.
The pacing is all off. I hate it.
It's wild. And we did expect that we would hear monologues from each character to Xavier about why Xavier should not destroy the Krakoan timeline and let them keep these memories and keep this community and keep all the stuff that all of this meant to them. And it's weird in that they do that, but then they don't do it to Xavier. They establish their point of view and then they're like, okay, put him on the line. And then they skip over that again.
Yeah.
They skip over the direct interaction between this team and Xavier, which is a really pivotal moment to this whole plot.
Yeah. Rachel is the only one who talks to him and then they just talk to Rachel. So they never talk to him.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they do show up. I mean, here they show up, but the end of this is before the rise of the powers. Wait, the rise of the powers of 10?
I don't. What's the end of this? I should skip ahead.
They show up where she's like, here you are. And he's about to kill Moira. And here you are. But I'm like, wait, didn't this already happen in the last issue where they showed up and then told him not to do it? And then he goes, kills Rachel.
Yeah, no, that was in last week's Rise of the Powers of 10.
So why was this coming? Why is this coming out?
Why is it coming after? Exactly.
I guess because the artist like needed more time. I don't know.
Sure. I mean, there are multiple artists in this book. If like the artist in the first few pages is different.
Well, I'm just the pacing and the continuity is all fucked up. And this is not boding well for this new beginning because it's coming to an end in a very sloppy fashion.
I agree.
I'm worried.
I mean, you know, people would say that the Matthew Rosenberg stuff was like sloppy and weird.
But it was fun and crazy. And he's a good writer and he's writing really fun things. And it was kind of just like, and all of the books were in order. I think that's my main thing. Can this just be in order?
Yeah.
Like if this wasn't ready, then don't release the Rise of the Powers.
But then they would have nothing to release.
Oh, jeez.
I should not drink LaCroix during these shows. I'm so gassy right now. Oh my God. I'm drinking my favorite flavor though, apricot. Okay.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. I actually don't like LaCroix anymore. I like the Polar. What is it called?
Poland Springs?
Poland Springs ones.
Okay.
They just have more fruity flavor.
Now I'm quitting the show. It just
feels like someone's burping the flavor into your mouth.
Well, that's what just happened. I feel like it just burped up an apricot.
A little bit of apricot, yeah.
Should we talk about this issue page by page?
No.
I mean, a little bit. They're fighting Cyborg Moira.
Yeah.
In her fifth life, which has got a weird team of X-Men with like Psylocke as the leader.
Yeah.
And then Rachel brings them back because Dazzler has Moira in like a headlock. It's giving original Nightmare on Elm Street where she's like, okay, I have him, wake me up.
Yeah.
And she brings Freddy into the real world.
Yeah.
It's very that.
And so she brings her back into her kind of dead planet.
And then Rachel's like, we're in each other's minds. And then, yeah, they bring her back to the dead planet. She keeps fighting them and she kills Dazzler.
Yeah.
With an axe.
Now, with this one, is she a separate timeline or a separate dimension, Moira? Do you remember?
She's from one of the... So she's technically from the 10th life, but she's one of the Sinister Moira engine reset universes. So it's like 10A, 10B, 10C, 10D.
Oh, okay. You know and this mean? Is in that future, that future version.
Yeah. So they pulled her from like one of those alternate Sinister do-over.
Got it.
10th life things. Right. Yeah.
And then Dazzler gets fucking axed in the back. And, but then she comes back and then, when this happened, you know, I was so fucking angry. I was like, oh, I guess she doesn't have resurrection powers. And I was like, throw this whole entire thing out. Me too. And when you ruined it for me, cause you're like, something happened that you're going to like.
As soon
as, as soon as I saw her die, I'm like, this is what he's talking about. She's coming back. So she comes back and it turns out she just can't have be chopped up into a million little pieces. It's very similar. I think Wolverine kind of has the same thing.
Wolverine can't drown. As long as he doesn't drown, he's okay.
Yeah.
One thing she says though, when she does resurrect later in the book, and honestly, who wants to talk about the rest of it? Really? I just want to talk about Dazzler resurrecting. When she resurrects, she's like, I guess my body picked up all the sounds from the battle. And so I feel like it's part of her mutant power is if like she's around a lot of sound after she dies, it revives her.
I really want to I want someone to get into it because I think because that idea is very interesting, but I also feel that it could then why does that only work with just you? Could you use it and heal somebody else? Like I think there's just so much possibilities and I guess they're just leaving it very vague, but I'm excited that it's still there. Is Dazzler on any teams coming up?
What do you think?
No.
No. No, why would they make us happy like that? Why would they give us what we want?
I just for one moment would love like a little adventure in the Outback where they were like, we need to bring back
Reunite.
The old Outback team.
Reunite.
Also,
like, I would love if the adversary came back and they had the original Outback team was the only one that could fight the adversary because Forge turned them into a ball that got rid of the adversary, leading to their death.
And you know
and so
what?
Only
and you
that
can,
combination of people.
And you can then bring up that whole of a plot of why they can be registered on televisions and be seen on sensors again.
Wasn't that ever addressed?
No. I think after Jim Lee and all, I think after Chris Claremont left, they just forgot about it. Unless it was ever addressed once I stopped reading it, like in the late 90s, if they ever brought that up again, maybe. Correct me if I'm wrong, but at least up into the 300s, they never brought that up. It just stopped happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that would be really cool. But here's my other thing. We do know Psylocke, I guess. What is her? Is she still Captain Britain? I guess.
I'm curious what she's going to be called when she's on X-Force.
She doesn't fully look like Captain Britain.
She's not donning the Captain Britain.
And so I'm like, bitch, if you're not donning Captain Britain and you're not Kwannon, where's that fucking purple cape, hooded cape, bitch? Put that fucking purple hooded cape on, bitch. Because that's my favorite costume of hers.
I agree. What is she even going to call herself?
Oh, God. Remember how many bad... how many bad names Rachel has gone through.
Oh my God. Fucking Prestige.
Prestige.
What? Marvel Girl.
Now? What is she now?
Ascani.
Ascani. That's like,
that's good.
I know, but you're like, took it that long to figure that out. Prestige.
That shit's from the 90s, honey. Ascani.
I know, right? But Prestige, 2000s. That was like...
Is that?
Wolverine and the X-Men.
Are you a Hugh Jackman movie?
Ugh. I was just... Oh, I guess maybe we can talk about it with the animated, but that reminds me of... just remind me to bring up one of the reasons the X-Men good is the cartoon is so good is that Wolverine is not the focus.
I said that out loud to my husband. I was like, I love that Wolverine is not in this.
Yeah. And I think that's the downfall, is they always thought Wolverine was the most popular, but it ends up limiting the story.
I actually do think we will see a Wolverine-focused moment. I don't know.
Of course, it's fine. I'm sure that's fine. Yeah. But I like it that it's not the Wolverine show.
Wolverine and the X-Men. I love that.
Although I love Wolverine and the X-Men, he's the least interesting character, but whatever. Because it's all about the ladies.
You know what I don't like about Wolverine and the X-Men? Emma Frost does not have one-liners in it.
Yeah.
She's just like, oh, this is all very serious. I'm like, honey, have a drink.
One part where when she's fighting Psylocke and then she does the little butterfly and she wipes it off and goes, pathetic.
She doesn't say pathetic.
She doesn't? Maybe I just in my head she does.
Yes. You made that up.
Okay, she does. In my head, she does. And I'm going to keep that in my head, so don't ruin it. What does she say? Does she just not do anything?
She doesn't do anything. She just waves it away.
See, I just added it. In my head, I'm just like, yeah. And then when Jean showed back, she's like, oh, God. I guess I have to save the day from this cunt.
No.
She didn't do
You made
either?
All this up. No, she has nothing funny to say.
I'm dubbing it over. I'm redubbing the whole show over with just Jean being a... With Emma
you
being
should.
A
it should be the new jizz.
Oh, my God. My show is mentioned on... Willem and Alaska's Hot Gossip, someone told me. They were like, they mentioned jizz because they were talking about abortion rights.
Of course. Oh, God.
Oh, anyway.
What else? Prodigy got the M-Kran crystal ripped out of his chest.
But it seems like he still like has the ability.
But he's still...
Not the ability, but he's still able to like have like not... It's not overwhelming. His powers aren't overwhelming.
Do you know who I think has Phoenix potential is Prodigy. I can see Prodigy being an avatar of the Phoenix.
Well, I also find it's very interesting I would love to see like a cross examination of Prodigy and Sync. Because Prodigy is able to absorb everything else except the powers. And Sync can absorb the powers. It's very, I don't know. There seems like there's some kind of connection there to me.
Together, they'd be unstoppable.
Although Rogue now doesn't have to touch people in order to absorb the powers.
Right, right.
And then neither does Hope. There's too many power.
Yeah, too much.
Too much. Many power mimickers. Let's kill some of these people.
Too many. Well, hopefully Hope will die. No, it looks like they're all going to die. It looks like Rachel's going to die. Hope's going to die. Jean's going to die. And then they'll be reborn.
Well, of the power absorbers... If you could only keep two, because we know we're keeping Rogue. We have Rogue, Hope, and Sync. Who's the one
Sync.
That dies?
Sync. I want to keep Sync.
So you want Hope to die. I've
wanted Hope to die since Messiah Complex.
Yeah. Well, then they made Bishop a villain. So demeaning of his character.
They killed Nightcrawler. No, that was... Yeah, they did. They killed Nightcrawler.
To save Hope?
Oh.
Ugh.
No, thank you. I'll take Nightcrawler.
And remember, what was her Generation Hope or something, her comic?
The Five Lights.
The Five Lights. And all of those characters were garbage.
Garbage. They went nowhere except Oya, who's now on.
Yeah, Oya's the only one I liked. I mean, that one that was
like. Was she one of them?
the Akira. I think she was, yeah. But that one, the blue lady who could fly, didn't like
her. Transonic.
The one guy who could, the speedster who would grow old, stupid.
Yeah, Velocidad.
The one that was like the basically the anime Akira character.
The Zero guy with his weird fleshy. Yeah.
Didn't care. I was just not that. I hated that whole time.
Me too. I hated it.
Maybe we should talk about Fall of the House of X then.
Okay.
All right. So here they were battling that other Moira.
Now we're battling Moira.
Current Moira. But meanwhile, we see here comes Apocalypse with all of the Arakans and people and mutants that were on Mars from Earth all come to like battle. And he goes to save Krakoa. And he's like, oh, the only way we can save Krakoa is I have to battle people and they have to die and then feed them your life energy. And I was like, what?
I guess it was just a way to like bring back like, hey, remember this cool part of the Krakoan era?
Yeah, but he was also like, hey, you're all going to die now. Is that cool with everybody? And everyone's like,
they're like, what?
Yeah.
And then one guy's like, totally. Rah!
Yeah.
Dead. Krakoa grows some leaves. And then someone else is like, yeah, let's die. Blah. And then Krakoa grows some leaves. And then I guess we needed like wrong slide closure because wrong slide winds up being he's the ultimate sacrifice.
He's like, because I'm a combination of like all the wrong slides merged into one. It's basically doing a million.
I'm a meal. I'm a full ass meal.
Yeah.
These other mutants, snacks.
Yeah. And he dies, which is sad because I miss the old long. I want rock slide.
He says when he dies is confounding to me.
Why?
He goes, if you should see the other rock slide again, tell him I'm so happy I got to exist. How the fuck would we see the other rock slide? Wasn't the whole fucking thing is that there's no way to resurrect rock slide now because he died in Otherworld?
Yeah.
I'm like, where are you coming from? Should you see him? So obviously we are going to see him again. Can we stick to the rules?
Also, maybe we don't. Maybe it's okay. We have too many. That's the other thing that annoys me with this new comic coming out. It's like, Kitty's trying to help two new mutants. Nope. We have enough. I don't want another new mutant because especially it's like, remember Escapade? Never going to see her again.
No, I know.
I'm just sick of creating these new mutants that no one's going to give a shit about. No new mutant is going to be created that people are going to be like, let's keep them. I think maybe there's one. There's one that I would like, and it's the one from Sinister. What's his name? You know who I'm talking about. The one who is like Third with Storm, Eye? The one who's with Storm.
Craig from NASA?
No, he has the power to like turn like his blood into metal or whatever.
Oh, the guy that shoots metal out of his mouth? Oh, no. Iron Fire.
He's like,
we love Iron Fire.
He's the only cool new character that I feel I'm like down with.
Yeah. Fair.
That wasn't created by I liked Escapade too. Okay, and Escapade. And I'm not counting Hickman, because Hickman can always create new fun characters.
But I mean, like I think that I kind of like the new mutant thing. I typically agree with you. I totally agree with you. Certainly in the Krakoan era, I'm like, do not add any more. We have them all. But I mean, they're going to keep coming.
Yeah.
And they're going to continue to need help.
I think the problem is there's so many like Dazzler, Hellion. There's all of these side characters that I would like to be given a chance. And then it's like, nope, we're going to make a new one. And I'm like, ugh.
Exactly. See, now you understand what Republicans think about immigrants.
All right. Yeah. Okay. I completely changed my mind on that topic now.
Bring on the new mutants.
Okay. So Nimrod, magic comes and gets Scott out of the way before that the Sentinel. Is it Sentinel City that blows up?
No, I think it's just like.
Or where they were, the hideout.
Yeah. The place on the moon. Yeah.
And so they're going, and then this is Xavier. I don't.
What the? So this is what you were talking about last week. I feel like when we need to advance the plot. And so the characters are going to make these choices that you're like, really? Really?
So, okay.
This is one for me.
So here it is Xavier's like, I'm going to sacrifice all the humans.
What?
So that I can save the mutants. If there is one thing that Xavier has always stood steadfast on, it is that humans and mutants should live together in peace.
Like, I get all of this. I get that all of this is so traumatic. It's like you've thrown your principles out the window and you no longer stand for what you stand for. But this was a choice.
This is insane.
It's insane. It's too far.
It's the same thing where I was like, I get that Beast is evil now, but I still don't know what's the point where he went crazy town. And this Xavier thing, I need to see something where he says, I need to give up my dream. It was a lie. I can't trust the humans. I need to see a turn on the humans because otherwise he would never do this.
This is like Moira level. What the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
He'll turn. And also,
and then he literally, as the humans are going to try and save this, the Sentinel City from like fucking the sun up to kill Earth, he blows all of the humans up in that ship.
He blows them up. And then wait, to make matters worse, they don't flat out say it. However, in like the data page of their negotiation, he's like, Nimrod goes, the X-Men will never accept
like,
this.
Let them die.
And he's like, well, I can't do anything about that because they have the red triangle defense. But Nimrod, I don't know, maybe you could do something. I'm like, so not only are you killing all of the humans, you're sacrificing your A-list X-Men in the as well.
Yeah. And so then you kind of see Emma. So then there's a group. It's Emma, Rogue, Gambit, Colossus, Psylocke, Magic. They're all like, keep realizing all of this and talking to Xavier, and then Scott talks to him, and I think Emma's probably relaying all of this to everybody, so I think they hear all of it. They see him blowing up that ship. They're like, what the fuck? And so they're like, we have to go and kill these people. And Emma, this is what I love, Scott,
I love
is
this.
Like, Emma, you have to stay, because if we all die, you're the one who's going to fucking take Xavier out. I'm like, woo!
I fucking love it. And there's a lot of tweets like, there's no way Emma Frost can take down Xavier. And I'm like, oh yeah? Can I point to the number of times she's done it already?
Can we go? Because it's called X-Men Legacy. I forget what the issue is, but when she confronts him and she goes into the past and forces him to relive his memories against his will, where she's like, no, we're not done reliving all the shitty things you did. And he was not able to control it. Yes.
She set a booby trap in Cyclops's head once. I forget when that was, when the second Xavier went into Scott's mind to try to take it over, Emma was like, I'm here already and I got you.
Yeah. Actually, that was the issue where it was revealed that when Rogue joined the team, Xavier telepathically made everybody be okay with it and like enforced their hand. And I was like, oh, such a good retcon. And that's so fucked up.
Xavier, I can't believe
so
like
fucked up.
There, Xavier, he's been so disgusting for so long. And for so long, I'm like, but there'll have a redemption arc, because to me, really,
there's no redeeming this. Because that's the thing, is like, it was all in the sake of try to have mutant human harmony. And so that it was literally, he was doing all these horrible things for the sake of the greater good of mutant human harmony. And then in the end, he's just like, nope, and just let them all die. That's crazy town. It's I don't know. I mean, I guess, and he's just going to be in jail in Xavier's mansion.
Well, yeah, there's a whole thing called Inmate X
about. That's him. I mean, who else?
Oh, of course. Also, does Nimrod kill the X-Men here? Like, does he kill Cyclops and Rogue and Gambit and Colossus?
It
sure looks like it.
I mean, it's hard to tell because they're bloody punches, and then he throws them in a pit.
But there could be, they could, it could cut to the next thing where they're landed in the pit and like, oh, we got knocked out. You know what
ow,
I mean?
My jaw. Yeah.
I mean, I need, usually you have to see entrails or like eyes, like a dead face, but it could be, but it doesn't matter because Storm's coming and she's going to fucking fuck everybody up.
Fucking love that.
Ugh, why wasn't that plan one from the beginning? Because in the end, this is what I want. I do kind of like the idea that they're dead and then they kind of get resurrected at the end. I think they're going to do like one last resurrect. They're like, okay, finally got everybody out of the white hot room. We're now going to resurrect every character we need. And then Phoenix. At the very last minutes, somebody like in a final thing, Nimrod comes up and kills Hope. Before then they finally kill him or something like that. So now more resurrection.
Always. Yeah. Yes.
But before that resurrection happens, the only people left are Emma and Storm. And they've actually defeated Orcus. And the person they have to defeat now is Xavier. Storm coming back. Because she was like, if I come back here, it's to fucking kick your ass. Storm and Emma together to fuck up Xavier. I need it.
Oh, I need it. I am so excited for that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it looks like next week we'll have another Rise of the Powers of 10. We'll have X-Men Forever number 2. So I think that's when we'll see the Phoenix stuff start to happen.
Yeah, because we still need to figure out how are they going to get out of the White Hot Room.
Phoenix.
Yeah. Or do you think Mother Righteous is going to... Because Mother Righteous is still trapped because they killed Rachel. Sinister's dead. Is Rasputin dead?
No, I think she's alive. Okay.
So it's so in that thing after he shoots Rachel, it's Rasputin and then Mother Righteous in that bubble. So
yeah,
I think he's going to free Mother Righteous to try and stop Rasputin. Anyway, that's all exciting to me. But this Xavier thing doesn't make any sense to me. Sorry about it.
Sorry. Can we talk about X-Men that does make sense?
The X-Men animated series, X-Men 97.
That's the one.
I think we can hit the music.
Shocked at what we saw in the opening. Did not expect any of these people.
Well, it was a thing where I had to reread the end, like rewatch the end, because the third season is so bad, I stopped watching it. And
yeah,
so
the fourth,
when
yeah.
I watched the first episode, it was like, oh yeah, Xavier died. But then I rewatched it and it was like, oh no, more Lalandra came and was like, he's dying, let him come with me as he dies and maybe I can save him.
And she did.
And what is he wearing? But in issue 275 of Uncanny X-Men.
Yes.
He's wearing that outfit. You know what I didn't see is Oracle. I wanted to see Oracle.
I know. But you saw the Shi'ar Imperial Guard, including
Manta, who I love.
Love Manta.
Is it Gladiator?
Gladiator. Yeah. The one that gets real big. All that. And new addition, Vulcan.
Oh, that's right. I was like, is that fucking Vulcan? And
Vulcan.
I don't think he's ever been in the animated.
Nothing.
He showed up afterwards. So that's a little red herring. Like, that's not red herring, but a little Easter egg of like, is that ever going to come out that that's the brother?
I feel like you can't. It's like Chekhov's Vulcan. Like, you can't just show us Vulcan and not do the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's the name of this episode, by the way. Chekhov's Vulcan. So we have the Shi'ar attacking the Kree, and Deathbird is taking it to Ronan the Accuser. And right when the Shi'ar is going to best this Kree faction, Lalandra's kind of emissary telepathically contacts Deathbird. It's like, your sister has an announcement. And already I'm falling in love with Deathbird because she's like, oh yes, my sister is always my number one priority.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, whoever this is, she's having fun.
Yeah. Until she decides to call the Milky Way a ghetto.
I can't even. Oh my God.
Wait. A fucking cunt.
That was, I had to rewind that and be like, did I hear that right? Like, Deathbird is these the whole Shi'ar, they're so fucking racist.
Yeah,
and so many things they say.
But that was the
but
other
she
thing.
She sure did say that.
Well, the other thing that I had to explain to Joe was I was like, in the Marvel 616 comic universe, most of intelligent life throughout the universe is kind of hovers in a sort of area. And the Milky Way galaxy is crazy far away from all of that. So all of the Kree, the Shi'ar, all of these other things, they're all reasonably close to each other. And Earth is super far, 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 far away, which is why it was kind of left alone for so long. And I always liked that, like, fact about the Marvel mm-hmm. universe. And they're kind of bringing that in this, too.
She said he just wants to take you back to his Milky Way ghetto. She, why did she say ghetto with her full ass breath?
I know, right?
She like leaned into
there is
ghetto.
So many, there is so many people like just like black TikTok creators are like watching
screaming.
It and then showing like him for saying it, be like, what?
Also, she goes, and then they're gonna he's gonna want you to mix it up with his freak fluids. His freak fluids?
Yeah.
His freak fluids. She is Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah.
She is Allison Williams from Get Out.
Yeah. Yeah.
She said, ghetto. Ghetto. I can't believe it. It was too much. Okay. We have to stop.
But we do see, and how the TikTok, wait, can we just do a quick total non sequitur since I brought up TikTok?
Yeah.
Are you on the theater TikTok with Courtney from Legally Blonde?
No.
Someone what? Took a British high school production of Legally Blonde, and the shop girl is so bad. That now everybody is lip syncing it.
Oh, I can't wait.
Wait here. I'm gonna see if this is loud enough for you to be able to hear it. Hold on. Listen to this.
I can't understand it. I can't understand it. Yeah, I'll have to look it up.
Literally, that's all I see on my TikTok is people pretending to act bad. To do this, and it's giving me life. Just like
oh my God.
Giving me life. Sorry, I had to bring that up.
So anyway, the Shi'ar emissary is like, Lilandra is getting married to that man descended from simians, in your words.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, stop the battle.
Especially because
family
they're
drama.
Based on birds, right? Isn't the Shi'ar birds?
Yeah, and so they're like, people descended from simians. Ew.
And in this, we see the... They were battling the Kree a little bit. We got to see the Kree, which, you know, and we also saw... Who's the guy with the big hammer?
Ronan.
We got to see Ronan. So it felt like, oh, there's a little bit of Avengery, like, character showing up, which I kind of like that.
Well, you know about the big Avenger character showing up from that trailer, right?
Captain America.
Yeah, he's coming.
So I'm super excited about all of this, but at the same time, I don't give a shit about Xavier.
Well, here's what I love. One thing is, honestly, it's nice to see a Charles Xavier that, yes, he does have some issues. He is problematic, but ultimately he still is about the coexistence of humans and mutants.
Yeah, which is more than we say about comics, Xavier.
More than this one.
Although Lilandra is like 100% red flags here, where he's like, I want to still go to Earth to like visit everyone. Oh my God, like, no. Do you not love me? If you love me, you wouldn't fucking go to Earth to see your love.
No,
why are you
like,
and I was like, everybody wants to visit their family. Calm the fuck down.
It's, those are his kids.
Yeah.
She's like, you can't visit your kids.
Yeah, that's crazy.
We'll make our own kids.
Red flag.
It's nuts. No. It's nuts. No, so that's crazy. And then, so basically Deathbird says to Xavier, I issue this challenge. In order to marry Lilandra, you have to renounce all, you have to wipe your mind of all of your memories of Earth, and in particular, your memories of your X-Men.
Crazy. That is insane. Did I ever tell you about the guy I dated that told me the little movies that I was making were interfering I was like making a feature length movie on my own. I got a grant from the Chicago, Illinois Art Council to make it. And he said that this movie was interfering with our time together and that I had to choose between him and this little movie I was making.
Well, what did you choose?
Well, I instantly broke up with him and he was like so shocked. I think he was so shocked that I did. Or I was like, did you really think I would like give up my dreams?
Choose
for you?
You?
But also the fact that someone would even say that, I was like, any feelings I had right. for you died instantaneously. So the yes. fact that Lalandra is like, yeah, erase your memories for me. What? Abusive. He's in an abusive relationship.
That's so Madeline Pryor too. Scott, let's leave the X-Men.
Yeah. That's why you shouldn't date birds.
Don't date birds.
Birds are problematic.
So, He's like, fine, I'll do it. First of all, how about he looks at the both of them, to Deathbird and Lalandra, and goes, God, you're dramatic. Meanwhile, he's wearing this like crazy ass exoskeleton and helmet. It's just so funny.
And then he like pulls them all into a
classroom setting,
an astral plane classroom.
I loved this. He goes, class is in session. Demerit, apple in your mouth.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, you think I'm weak? You think we're all pathetic? I just owned all of you bitches.
Do you know what this is a reference to? There are so many references to Grant Morrison's Imperial storyline.
Yeah.
Here, like just the whole, like, I was nervous because the whole, like, Xavier and I are getting married. I was like, oh my God, is he Cassandra Nova? Because this is the setup to Imperial. And then you find out Nova is Xavier and she's controlling Lalandra's mind. Also, that's how they beat. After Emma tricks Nova, Xavier does the classroom thing. And he's like, okay, class is in session. And he re-educates Nova.
Yeah.
So a lot of little references. They worked in things from Imperial without making this the same story. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. And then at the end of it, at the end of that classroom, he sees and feels Gambit dying.
He feels the whole Genosian incident, especially Gambit's death. And right when he has the Shi'ar convinced to let him keep his memories and marry Lalandra,
he's like, fuck you, cunt. Go. Take me back to Earth.
And he does. And he does what you did to that horrible guy. She's like, you can't go back. If you go back now, we're not going to be able to get married. And he's like, fuck you, bitch.
Yeah, bye.
Call a taxi. Call an Uber. I'm out of here.
I need a space Uber, please.
Give me a space lift and make sure it's connected to my Delta account. I need the miles.
But that is happening. That's only one of the plot lines that's happening. We also
another one?
We also have the second half of Life Death.
Of Life Death, the Storm losing her powers. Mm-hmm. So Storm and Forge have to face the adversary. The adversary bit Forge. He's dying of the poisonous bite. Storm has got to not let the adversary get in her head and control her. And she also has to go get a special cactus that grows in the dark of small places.
And also she's hidden
famously
on a
claustrophobic.
But it's hidden inside a huge bluff, cliffside bluff. Does that look familiar?
Oh, it's from Life Death.
Yeah. Joe was like, I'm going, oh, he's like, it's a cliff. I'm like, that's where she gets her powers back. He's like, shut up, you're ruining it for me. And I was like, oh yeah, I guess you should watch this. It is funny where like I'm getting all these references, but telling someone who doesn't, I'm just like spoiling everything.
I love that, like the boyfriends and the husbands, like when I had to take a business trip, so I watched X-Men without my husband Wednesday, and then Saturday morning we watched it together. Friday night, one of the first things he says to me when I get home is, does Storm get her powers back? Don't tell me. It was so cute.
Yeah.
So we're watching it and like things are looking good.
But this adversary is so creepy and also
so creepy.
Can read a bitch. What was the thing she said where it's like you choose to like sleep with the person who beats you or something? What was that line?
Oh, but I forget. But yeah,
but
like Forge.
I was it. Yeah. That was like, girl, you didn't have to hit
girl,
that hard.
Too far. Too far. Well, listen, I loved when so Forge was like, I'm gonna go with you to this cave because if I die while you're
also,
getting the cactus, I don't want to die alone.
A spell from a spell book from his mother's
to destroy the adversary.
To destroy
quote
the
unquote.
Adversary. But now he's dying, so he's like, if I die, I want to. Die with you? Was that it?
Well, no, he's like, I need you to get this cactus. He's like, but I'm probably going to die while you're getting it. So I don't want to die alone. Yeah. So let me come with you. So they go together and they have this conversation that fucking wrecks me. I love how this show is so clearly about things like real things like race relations and colonization, Shi'ar, that they say things like, Forge says to Storm, you know, I heard somebody say that the biggest weapon used in World War II wasn't bombs or guns. It was a white lie, a little white lie. And now language matters because they never say what they mean by the lie, but Storm gets her powers back by no longer believing the lie.
Yeah.
The white lie. This is a Native American man and a black woman talking basically about oppressors and colonizers and how they tell you you are lesser than.
Yeah.
They tell you, you, as long as you act like them, shed everything about
this
you.
This is the real
and
way
instead
you're supposed
act
to be.
Like them. This is the real way you're supposed to be. Then you are worthy and then you are worth anything, a life. And then it's Storm going, fuck that. Like the lie of the colonizer, the lie of the oppressor is what gets her powers back.
Well, let's play the beats because the cactus is in a tiny cave. So now she has to not fight her claustrophobia. She's
number one,
getting the claustrophobia.
Adversary.
Like she has the little flashlight in her mouth. She's climbing up. She finally finds the cactus. But as she drops the flashlight, the adversary is back. And the adversary starts closing everything in on her. And I think this is finally where she realizes that lie of like, everyone else is telling you, you don't have your powers back. You're never going to get them back. And it's the adversary.
And you're better without them.
And I think it was that Forge's thing worked. And it was the adversary that made her not think that she could use her powers.
It was her doubt. It was believing that she's an inferior person as a black woman, as a mutant. Believing that she's better without her powers because then she can assimilate into the oppressing society.
Yeah. It's also very similar. It reminds me also of, because of all this, I've been reading more X-Men runs. Like I reread the X-Men, like From the Ashes, which is when Rogue first joins the X-Men. And during that time, Professor Xavier has been transplanted into a new body, but he still can't walk. Because mentally, all he mentally knows is that he's paralyzed.
Yeah.
So even though the body can work, he mentally can't make it work. It reminded me of that too. And so when she starts telling the adversary to fuck off, and then the wind starts coming, some electric sparks, I was like, oh, what's happening? Oh, it's happening. But it did not. Did you know what was going to happen with the costume change?
No,
did you see
I
that
did
coming?
Not. When
did
I screamed,
did you scream?
She said, what I loved is when she said, let them thunder, meaning like let them talk and let them bluster because I am lightning. I will cut through that shit and I will destroy anything I touch. I loved it. Then she, and I read this on Twitter, somebody caught it. She made the tiara and the new outfit, the vintage 1975 look. She made it out of the adversary's feathers.
Yeah.
Meaning she talked about like, it's when you fear your adversary, it's when you feel othered and you feel lesser than that you're powerless. But when you embrace your adversary, then you are unstoppable. And she's literally wearing the feathers of her adversary. She's wearing her shame. It's beautiful. But it's also
so
the best Storm look of all time.
Yeah. I mean, I love the classic mohawk with the biker vest.
Sure, sure.
And everything.
But as soon as that tiara formed in her head, I screamed.
Shit.
I said, she's pretty.
I think Joe was like, but how do her powers do that? Her powers can change clothes. I'm like, just shut up.
It's like she kind of took the adversary's magic, yeah, you know, and like yeah, kind of yeah. used it herself.
Yeah. Ah, oh, it was so good. And then she's just like, wow, well, I have my powers back. And then she heals Forge and he's like, well, maybe we can start anew. Everything's great. And then the news comes on and then she's like, oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck. He's like, do you want to go vacation on a small island somewhere? Yeah. You are. Unfortunately, you will be.
Yeah.
Vacationing on a small island somewhere.
So we finally, because that's the one downside to this episode, is we don't see any aftermath.
We don't have any continuing. Yeah.
Any aftermath of Genosha.
Yeah. Ugh. Which I kind of love. I make me wait, you know, edge me a little more. I don't mind.
Yeah. I know. See, I'm going to come as fast as I can. No, just kidding.
I know. But then afterwards you're like, oh, I wish I didn't come. during that sequence when she got her powers back and she's like looking at herself in the lake while she's flying over it.
Yeah. It was so good.
It's so gorgeous. She's taking it in. She's like, ugh. It's so gorgeous.
And that's the thing is for all those people that don't know of the original comic, and they were like, oh, you're going to take her powers away? That's bullshit. And you're like, no, trust the process.
I just can't wait. Like, so now we have Storm on her way to Genosha to take care of that. And we've got
Storm and Xavier on their way to fuck
shit up. And Storm on her way to Orcus to take care of that is where we're left in like the TV and the books.
Storm taking care of business.
Yeah.
And I'm rereading the one where Rogue joins, because it's also where those episodes, it's also where Storm, because it's before she loses her power.
In the comics?
Yeah, but it's where she gets her mohawk, and it is her coming to terms with murdering Callisto and the Morlocks to win the Morlocks. Her being like, you said, am I a goddess? Am I a leader? If I'm a leader, I have to make tough decisions. And her kind of just discovering who she was. And I kind of looked back and was reading that, and I'm like, I really feel comics don't do this anymore.
They don't do this anymore. They don't have these personal.
There's too many plot, like overarching yeah. plots to get through. Where Chris Claremont was like, I'm just going to sit back and like that plot will come when it needs to come. I'm going to just talk about Storm's inner turmoil for a bit. And
it's one of the most remembered and respected stories of all time.
We need to bring that back, please. And seeing how it's working. It's working in X-Men 97. I hope this new run of the X-Men comics takes a cue from X-Men 97 and sees what's working.
And I hope the MCU does the same with the movies.
Yes.
It shouldn't even be movies. It should be a show. It should be a show. It should be a soap opera.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would you do movies? Like, it's stupid.
Did you ever read, what is it? The Noble Family, the Image comic?
No.
It's just pure soap opera. It's like a superhero, like this human woman marries like the most famous superhero and marries into his family. And at the end of the first issue, he gets killed in battle. And so the rest of the comic is just her kind of like dealing with all the soap opera stuff because she's never in the battles. So they always come back from the battles, but it's just her dealing. You're sleeping with this person and you're doing this and you hate me and you're having an affair. Oh, it was so fun.
You know what they should do? They should do the battles are the movies and then all the drama in between the battles is TV.
Like Untucked. If you're not watching X-Men Untucked, you're only getting half the story.
That's a good. So anything more to say?
No, I think we covered it. I think that's a good segue.
That was a good segue into Drag Race finale.
Yeah, spoilers here, but I mean, it's been, by the time this is released, if you hadn't heard, you're living in a box.
So this was interesting in that you kind of had three queens going into the finale where any one of them could have taken it.
No, I don't agree with that.
I don't think
Plain Jane had a chance in hell to make it to the top.
I thought there was a chance, like Plain Jane probably could have whipped out something really funny. And maybe taking it, but I think
tell
we
all
you
knew. I know. She never, ever on stage was vulnerable. Even when they're like, why should she be the drag queen? She's like, because I got all this body. Where Nymphia is like crying. Like people are giving something earnest.
Her mom.
To be America's next drag superstar, you have to be funny. You have to be crazy. You have to be kooky. But you also have to be earnest. Like even Katya
when she was on All Stars 2, there's a, like, she was doing her shtick as the Russian hooker, and then she dropped it and then thanked RuPaul and started crying. You need to have that real moment. And she is too scared to
She's too scared.
That, I think for that reason, she, Ru is like, nope, that's not, you can't make a decision.
You can't live with that fear. And exactly. And also, like, if it wasn't clear, it was clear 5 seconds into Plain Jane's solo number that she wasn't even at, in the same league as what Nymphia had just done.
Yeah.
Nymphia did her solo number first. Unreal.
Yeah, it was amazing. And then Saphira's was amazing.
Meh. And Saphira's, fun, I thought Saphira's was better than Nymphia.
I think the reason though is Nymphia and Saphira were trying to do like epic moments. And I do think Plain Jane is still living in Burger Finger world. I'm sexy.
Right.
It's huge.
Right.
And it's
right.
Just, it's stuck at this lower
level. The other
level.
Two are giving you, they're giving you art.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're giving you queer art that we must support. Can we talk about, did we talk about Megami in Lollapalooza?
I think we talked about that.
We did, right? Right, right. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. 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 Just total redemption.
My Who God, I loved it. I loved it.
Like, I hated her. Her talent was one of the worst talents.
That was the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
And then she came and comeback. Turned around. I'm like, I think she realized how bad she fucked up with that talent. That I think, because in this, there was only, rather than doing, because usually these live performances and all of the stuff where they do the finale is just done like a month before it airs.
Yeah.
And after the disaster of last year where one of the dancers broke their leg, they decided, let's just do it so we have more time if something goes horribly wrong. So they did it just a couple months later. So it's only been like 2 months later after they actually shot it. And okay. I think Megami really sat down and was like, I'm going to come across really bad in this show.
So
I need to have a plan because I'm not a lip syncer and I'm going to have a plan for every goddamn song. I'm going to have a stunt for every goddamn song. She silky nutmeg ganached it.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
And that, and that's so smart. So fucking smart.
Yeah. But back to the finale.
Did you see mandatory meetings reactions that keep cutting to
yes!
her whenever it was Plain Jane and her stank face? Oh my
God. So funny. Totally called that Tsunami was going to be Miss Congeniality.
I
did
not
expect Saphira to win.
I do not think, I always thought that the top three were not eligible for that prize.
Me too. And so when Saphira won also, I was like,
you're not winning.
Nymphia's winning.
No one's winning Congeniality and the crown.
Right. Right.
So it was
and
kind
also
of like almost their little consolation prize.
I will say here in Brooklyn, not here in Brooklyn, but in Brooklyn, there was for the finale, there was a huge, like when I say huge, biggest viewing party I've ever seen, huge viewing party called the Yellow Party. And it was a Nymphia wind themed event. And it was like the biggest event I've ever seen. I'm like, she won.
Did you just watch it?
I wasn't there, but when I saw the promo, when I saw the promo for it, I was like, this is a gigantic like gala celebration of Nymphia wind. She's winning.
Also, then they announce the top two, which is Nymphia Saphira. No surprise there. They're going to be lip syncing to Padam Padam.
I couldn't believe it.
The hugest gay anthem of last year. Are you kidding me?
Just
amazing.
Everything
amazing also but and this is the thing is how smart this was is that song when did that song come out
it last
came
summer.
Out in the summer and this was probably shot in the summer so they really just fucking jumped
it
on
was
it.
Hot
they
yeah,
were like
it was hot when they did that
fucking song and we've never seen and it's they're doing a lot of comparisons to Sasha Velour because Sasha Velour we
yeah
never
because
saw
of
her
the
lip-sync.
Yeah
we've never seen Nymphia lip sync and it's a shame. It's a shame because I don't like that we only saw her do one lip sync.
Because she's incredible.
She's really fucking good.
And I loved that we did not know she was capable of that.
And I just want to, and people, there's some Saphira diehard fans that are like, oh, so it's not about track record? Other people have won for track record.
I saw that.
And I'm
going
to be like, let's put a pause
Jinx.
On it. Track record, Nymphia has 3 wins. Saphira has 4. Nymphia has never been in the bottom 2. Saphira has. Nymphia has never, ever, ever. Nymphia has never been in the. If you really line up the track record,
It's the same.
I feel it's exactly the same. And so going in, I even told to my whole viewing party, I had a big viewing party, and they're like, who do you think is going to win? And I'm like, I feel it's completely even, and I think the lip sync will decide it. And that final lip sync, sorry about it, Nymphia opened up her boba outfit, and the boba flew up, and she won.
Come on.
It was a Sasha Velour rose petal moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then she did that cartwheel reveal.
Yeah. And Saphira had some reveals, but her first reveal, she had fangs.
It was the same blue that she had on. Yeah, first was fangs.
But she had fangs, and I guess because Padam Padam is a heartbeat, but I did not understand.
The lyrics do, like, if you, I thought it was hilarious because, you look real good to me. You know, you can't get me out of your head. Then, it's very vampiric.
But then you need to have, it needs to be yes anded. Like there needs to be three
absolutely
more steps
like,
to that. And there wasn't.
Keep your vampire story going.
Yeah. More vampire story. But Saphira was doing amazing. Everything she did was great.
I mean, it was fine. It was good. It was
good.
But
someone
it was
said it interesting where they were, because other people were like, no, Nymphia got sloppy at the end. And I'm like, no, she started playing for the audience.
She was
Saphira
playing
was
each
playing
section.
For Rue. Nymphia was playing for the entire crowd. She would like run
exactly.
across the stage and she's like bringing the whole crowd into it. And I'm like, that is a real performer. That's someone who's not lip syncing for their life. That's someone who's like, I've already won and I'm now performing for my fans, bitch.
It was so joyful.
It was so good. And now we finally have the first East Asian queen
Yay!
As a winner. I love it. There's also some people being like, oh, so once again, Drag Race ignores people of color. And everyone's like, she's Asian. And they're like, well, but she's white skinned. And people were like, stop making it about that.
I know.
If you want to do the diversity track record for Drag Race of the past, all of the winners, it is a majority of people of color have won Drag Race over white people.
Because they're better at drag?
Yeah.
Not to generalize.
Yeah. The last white person to win was Willow Pill. And then before that was Aquaria?
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's Jada, there's Evie Oddly, mm-hmm. there's Sasha Colby.
Simone.
Yeah. That's I think of the one thing that Drag Race does a great job at is
it's almost like
diversity.
People who aren't part of the majority are better at art and expression. So weird.
Yeah. That is the one thing I realize is that in a weird way, oppression creates beautiful art. And I always wondered that this young Gen Z's, are they going to be really boring? Because they're not.
Well, they're already puritanical.
Yes. Because they don't have any of the trauma. If you don't have the trauma, you're not going to be
no,
good at drag.
Trust. Gen Z of color are definitely experiencing oppression on their.
Well, they're just the world's ending. So they have, they're experiencing oppression that every young person is being like, oh, I'm not going to grow up.
I have no future.
I have no future.
I have to honestly, though, back to X-Men 97, like just the fact that you had Storm and Forge as the victims of colonization, and then you have the Shi'ar, the colonizers.
The colonizers, yeah.
It's just so good.
The colonizers calling Earth full of colonizers, like the ghetto.
And then like Xavier being like, do you know where your power comes from? Stealing it from others. Like there's nothing real about you. It was so smart.
And it also shows you how the world can be the victim in one war and then the end and then the bad guy in the next. I'll just leave that at that.
Bye everyone.
Oh my God. Well, that was a fun episode.
Fun.
I'm so excited for the next.
Thank you, Dazzler.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Well, you murdered her. So if we don't come back next week, it's not because me and Brett had a falling out. It's because Brett will be under arrest for the brutal murder. I mean, you did just put someone in a wood chipper earlier.
And that I bet that's what's the line from Fargo? And I bet that's your accomplice in the wood chipper.
Yep. Hey, he's funny looking.
I don't know, just funny looking.
Oh my God. Was your favorite character in Fargo pregnant?
It's the two girls.
Frances McDormand. Or those two girls. Well, if they are, that means you read comics. Why? Because if you like those things and read comics, well, then that makes you
queer.
Bye.
Bye. Shazam.